Philip Hutchinson is in costume. Laurel and Hardy are back in Brighton. And a new show, I hear.
It's not really new. We've never brought it to Brighton before, though. Laurel and Hardy Cabaret. It's not the show we've been doing for years, hats off to Laurel and Hardy. It's just a series of their sketches and routines and scripts that were never filmed. And we've been performing them at conventions and old people's homes and festivals and things like that for years. And we thought, put it all together, ready-made show.
So for people that have seen it before, you know, there's enough here for it to be a new show.
Well, it is a new show. Yeah. The stuff that's in the biopic that we've been doing for years, the stuff we're doing here is not in that show.
Yeah.
It's all Laurel and Hardy's actual routines, including some musical sketches that they toured and they actually played in the Hippodrome in Brighton, which is opposite where we're going to be playing them this weekend.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, if we've seen the story, it wasn't a happy story only. There was you go into the dark side and the difficult side of their life, and this is more of a celebration of the sketches and the songs and the routines, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing sad in this. There's nothing even serious in it. The whole thing, it's just their routines. There's no telling their story in it. But there's some newsreel footage in there that we've recreated, but it's still comedy routines. It is basically comedy cabaret this time, not a piece of theatre.
So when did you guys decide, wow, come on, we're going to stop telling the story and just celebrate the routines?
It was my idea to take a year's break from writing something. Writing plays all the time. It takes up a lot of time, and there's a lot of heartache and learning things, but basically it's just an easy way out. We've learnt these routines already, and I thought, people haven't seen these. It's an easy way out. Let's stick them all together in one act. It's a cop-out, but it's a nice cop-out.
And you guys know what you're doing. And in terms of then all that material, I mean, was it easy to choose what was in?
It was, as is usual. Tony's sitting here beside me because he hates speaking, don't you, Tony?
Yeah. He's smiling that he's not speaking. This is like a perk in the job.
When I tend to write plays, they're always a bit too long, and we go through them together and individually, and we find bits that we think are better than others and cut the bits that we think don't work, and we always concur. And it was the same on this one. We had about an hour 20's worth of material, and we easily agreed on the bits that we should cut out and not do live.
But also, you're the experts, but it's interesting if people go and see their favourite bands and they call out, you know, play Stairway to Heaven. Quite often the bands don't just want to play the favourite ones, and they've got songs that, you know, say, so we haven't played this one for 20 years, and actually everyone's surprised at how good it is.
That is a very good point. Yes, we're not doing routines just because they're famous. There's some of the famous routines we do in Hats Off, and because we do them in Hats Off, we're not going to be doing them this weekend. But yes, there's some stuff in there that's really rare, things that people will simply not have seen before.
Yeah. And as you've done this show again and again in terms of, you know, all the routines and so on, are you still developing, you know, and finessing the characters that you portray?
I think so. I can't speak for Tony
on
this
Tony.
One.
Do you think you're becoming more like Stan Laurel?
Yeah.
Older.
Yeah. You pick up more when you watch the films. You think, I should be doing that. Just grow into it more.
And are we going to get to see the thumb catch fire?
I'm not going to say. That would be ruining it.
Okay, that's my Stairway to Heaven. I want to see that happen. And always when I see you guys doing this, you really seem to enjoy it. This isn't just a job, is it? You do get into these characters and they give something back to you.
Love it. We love it. We've both got a great love for Stan and Ollie, the people, even more so than the actors. And to be them, and for fans of Laurel and Hardy to agree that we're like them, it's a great honour. It's a privilege. And yeah, we get a laugh from it because we love doing it.
And there is footage, if anyone wants to YouTube these guys, of you guys out in the United States, you know, going back to the roots. And I know you met, was it Stan Laurel's, was it granddaughter?
It's daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah.
You know, how important has that been to you to actually connect with that?
The thing that was, well, I mean, I can't, Tony, because Tony plays Stan, so Tony's connection with it would be slightly bigger than mine. But the thing that really touched me was that Lois, sadly, she died last year. She was not fond of people playing her dad, but she liked us, and we're one of the only ones who'd done it that she actually liked, and that meant an awful lot to us.
But Tony, you haven't had plastic surgery. You do look a bit like him, and you've really now, both of you have now the character, but your, I would guess your temperament helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, and after playing Stan a lot, I always find it takes a while to get out of his character. People say to me, you know, you're doing his smile, or you're ruffling his hair, your hair like that. It stays with you.
And, you know, I said recently, actually, on TV about you guys, that I genuinely believe, if you know Stan and Ollie and you love them, then you're going to come and see this, of course. But if you've never even heard of them before and you stepped in, you're going to giggle. You're going to see an act that you don't need to have known before to still be entertained.
When I grew up, I thought Laurel and Hardy were two silent comedians who weren't funny. It was just a kind of technique, and it belonged to the 1920s. When I watched it as an adult, I realised I was wrong, and I never even gave them a chance. Yeah. The comedy is current. There may be black and white, there may be polite, there may be nothing offensive in there, but the routines they do, the timing, the silliness, it's absolutely now, and that's why they've aged so well.
Yeah. And it's current, not because it's current, but because it's timeless. So when Stan and Ollie at that time were doing their clowning, there was already clowns to refer to back, and they referred back, and there is a sort of timelessness about these two characters, the straight man, the funny man, the routines, the sadness and the happiness. You know, that wasn't even only the 1920s, was it?
No, I mean, if you're going back to early clowning and you go way back to your old Italian Commedia dell'arte, all that kind of stuff, it's always been there. A lot of this lies in the timing, and it lies very much in what's not said rather than what is said.
I mean, I assume, just like them, it has to help that, you know, I've seen you both looking a bit miserable as well as happy. You're not giggling all the time, laughing all the time. And there's a creative conflict between you and your material. And that's what they had, didn't they?
Conflict between
them? You know, they were deciding whether to do movies, and they must have been, that's going to work, that's not going to work. You can't just find it, can you?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, there certainly was that time in their career when movies weren't going so well, and they had to move it over to the musical. And there were conflicts in there. We don't have any conflicts about what we're going to do we? It's quite simple. I say I'm going to write this play. Tony says okay, and he plays in it.
I surrender, Philip. Just in terms of, you know, your careers, you've done other shows, of course you have. You've done other work, and you know, work that people wouldn't guess. When you've done Mr. Merrick, the Elephant Man, and you give a great show about, you know, the Jack the Ripper and so on. That variety is important, isn't it, in your work? You can't all do the same thing all the time. You'd probably burn out, wouldn't you?
I like to think that. I've deliberately done some serious shows to show that we're not a one-trick pony. It's a kind of megalomaniac arrogance there. But yeah, I've always wanted to do different types of shows just to cover all bases. The thing we've always done is that every piece of work we've done is telling the true story about something that people think they know about, but the story they've heard often relies a lot on fiction, and it's just telling the facts.
Finally, what's your invitation? I mean, it's on today. It's only here for a couple of days. What's your invitation for people to come and see the Laurel and Hardy Cabaret?
Come and see us or Stanley will cry.
We've got a brilliant silence there from Tony. Thanks very much. It's only on for a couple of days. I love the work of these two guys. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you, Paul.